Former President Richard Nixon is no stranger to the job of authoring, but his new book, Real Peace, has an unusual twist. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. It all started when Mr. Nixon began a series of speaking engagements.
Well, I visited cities like Atlanta, I was in Florida, I was in Philadelphia. Well, there was one here in New York, one in Indiana, one in Kansas City. The briefings were on foreign policy.
Then the former president decided to get out a longer statement.
I first considered the possibility of doing two or three op-ed pieces for the New York Times or for the Wall Street Journal. Before even submitting such pieces, I found that it was getting to greater length than they could cover in the 10,000 words or so that you could have in a couple of op-ed pieces.
Then he thought about a pamphlet.
Back in the early days of the Republic, pamphleteering was the most effective way of getting anything across. Tom Paine, Common Sense, was basically a pamphlet to begin with, then became a book.
Finally, he concluded that the text would be too long for a pamphlet.
I then decided that it might be better to make it a small book. So the result was this book. I wrote the first draft, or I should say the outline of the first draft, interestingly enough, on July the 3rd and finished it on the morning of the 4th of July.
Mr. Nixon enlisted some help.
When I completed the outline, I then brought in a couple of my people from my staff, both of them very capable, who had worked with me on my book, Leaders. I showed them the outline, and I said, what I want to do is to get out a small book, no more than 100 pages, on Soviet-American relations. And I wanted to complete it in a very short space of time, because I wanted it to be timely.
Richard Nixon says a commercial publisher could not get Real Peace out as fast as he wanted, so he had it printed privately and given away to leaders, statesmen, and media people. Subsequently, Little Brown published a trade edition. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Former President Richard Nixon wanted a wider audience for his views about U.S.-Soviet relations, so he wrote Real Peace, and he wanted the book out quick.
I found that in checking with my publishers, the Warner people, they could not get something out that fast. I wanted it to be timely. Generally speaking, when you're writing a book, as I had learned in doing Six Crises over 20 years ago, and then later my memoirs, which was, of course, a 3.5-year project, and then The Real War, which took a year to write, and Leaders, which took another year to write. From the time you complete the manuscript to when the book becomes available for sale, 6 months lead time.
Mr. Nixon says that wasn't satisfactory.
I decided to publish it privately, to publish 1,000 volumes privately. We had it printed privately. A few more, which I wanted available to give to friends and relatives and so forth and so on.
The Boston publishing house of Little Brown said it could produce Real Peace fast, and it did, a month after the private edition came out.
They took the manuscript, which was in the private edition. There was no editing whatever. It was brought up to date, bringing in, for example, the Korean Airline incident, which was not in the private edition.
The former president paid for the private edition out of his own pocket.
The private edition cost, my recollection is, in the neighborhood of about $20,000. And I was prepared to pay that. But as a result of its going public, that will, of course, be recovered.
But Mr. Nixon says he never intended to make money on the book.
I did not feel that this kind of book was commercially viable in any, like, a bestseller type, because it's a very serious book. It's not full of anecdotes. There's no gossip. There's no sex. Those are the things that sell books, as we know.
Former President Nixon. The first printing of Real Peace sold well enough that Little Brown brought out a second printing. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Former President Richard Nixon describes his book, Real Peace, as a hard-nosed, hard-headed, pragmatic analysis of foreign policy. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. At first, the trade publishers said it would take longer than Mr. Nixon wanted to bring out the book, so the former president had 1,000 copies printed privately at his own expense. Eventually, Little Brown did bring out a trade edition.
Many who received it and many who have purchased it have read it through and seem to have understood it. Some don't agree with all of it. But this shows you the value, one, of making it short. It's only 100 pages. It can be read by even a slow reader in 3.5 hours. I know that because what I have done also is to record the entire book for the for the blind.
The organization known as Recordings for the Blind produces tapes, mostly of textbooks and scholarly works for the sightless.
I had learned about this through John McComb, the former head of the CIA, who is now legally blind. And he had told me about this organization. I got in touch with them. They were delighted to have me recorded. I think it's the first time an author has recorded his own book. And I read it in 3.5 hours. It took me 3 different days because you can't concentrate that well.
To record Real Peace, Mr. Nixon drove from his home in Saddle River, New Jersey, to the headquarters of Recordings for the Blind in Princeton.
I'd get up around 5 in the morning and get up early. Anyway, I'd arrive there at 7, and we would record for 1.5 hours, each for 3 straight mornings. Right. And that now has been distributed not only through them to students across the country. It's available in their library. It's a marvelous organization. They have over 50,000 recordings of books, classics and so forth and so on, some novels and a few like this. But I sent it also to 160 veterans hospital across the country because I knew veterans particularly that would be interested in this subject.
Richard Nixon, whose book Real Peace is an assessment of U.S.-Soviet relations. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. A look at Richard Nixon, author. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The former president's book, Real Peace, is an analysis of U.S. foreign policy. It's not his first book. Before being elected president, he wrote 6 Crises. Then there were his memoirs, followed by The Real War and Leaders.
Authorship for me is very, very difficult. I've never had a baby myself, but I think writing a book is like having a baby. It is an excruciating experience. It's very difficult. It doesn't just come off the top of my head as it does for some of the great writers.
Mr. Nixon used those famous long yellow legal pads to outline Real Peace before a series of drafts.
In order to get it into the spoken word rather than the written word, because basically this book is a long speech, I would take the drafts as they came out, and then I would dictate them into a dictaphone, and the words would change so that it became more spoken rather than simply written.
Mr. Nixon says he wanted to avoid writing cliches.
You never find a place where it says, in my opinion. I had a lot of that in, and we often put that in when we write, sometimes even when we speak. But when I say something, that means it is my opinion. Why put in the words, in my opinion? You'll never find an of course. To say of course, say, as everyone knows, of course, etc., etc., that's talking down to people. Just stated as a matter of fact. There are very few I believes in it. It's obvious when you state something, you believe it.
And Mr. Nixon deliberately ignored an index and footnotes.
To try to impress people by the fact that you have bibliography and source notes and footnotes and so forth, that's like writing for a doctorate's degree and so forth and so on. It's pure posturing, in my opinion. I've done it in other books, but I'm not going to do it again.
Real Peace, says Richard Nixon, is a book he considers lean and simple. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Richard Nixon, he considers himself a serious reader of nonfiction. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The former president says his choice of reading material hasn't changed much since he was growing up in Whittier, California.
From the very earliest time, I was fascinated by geography. It was one of my best subjects. We couldn't afford it ourselves, but one of my aunts, Mrs. Marshburn, subscribed to the National Geographic, and when I was in the 4th and 5th grade, I used to devour that. In addition to that, I always liked history. I liked biography. I liked to read about great men, great women. I remember, for example, when I graduated from high school, my grandmother, who was a devout Quaker and a pacifist, gave me a biography of Gandhi. And I knew a lot about Gandhi before I ever went to India.
Mr. Nixon has to ponder a while before remembering the last work of fiction he's read.
Oh, yes, because it was somewhat historical type of novel. I read The Spike. I read it because Arno Dobrosjkov is an old friend, is a foreign policy expert, and he was getting across an interesting message. I would like a mystery if I had time to read it. But there are so many good books that I've got a backlog that I will never be able to reduce.
The former president says his home library is well organized.
I have an excellent collection of Lincoln books, one of my favorites. While some of the present historians don't rate it that high in terms of accuracy, was Sandburg, because it had the feel of poetry to it.
His advice to the young, read as broadly as possible, develop the habit of reading every day, and stay away from the tube.
Now let me make it clear, I'm not anti-television, because I must say I'm a sports nut. I won't miss the Super Bowl. But every time I find myself getting hooked on some whodunit or something like that on TV, I just look up at those books and say, if I spend another hour or two listening to TV, I'm not going to get through the books that I should get to.
Richard Nixon, his latest book is An Assessment of U.S. Foreign Policy, Real Peace. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.